Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The Game. Caroline Fenton is here. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how are we doing?
We missed you on Friday.
I missed y'all.
Good.
I had a nice long weekend, but I did miss you. I actually listened to the show from Friday on my way home yesterday.
Okay, well,
felt
if you
nice
listen,
to hear your voice.
If you listen to the show on Friday, chances are you have a pretty good idea of what we're going to be talking about today. Ian Safar is with us today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
Okay, let's start with this. Every time that we come on the air after Titans practice, in which I go, only afternoon radio show that goes to Titans practice, everybody else can have somebody on as a guest who is at practice. But as far as actually going to practice, that's me. And so some brief takeaways. I just did the plus minuses, who had a good day, who had a bad day. Logan Woodside, I thought was really good today. Christian Fulton, everybody's making a big deal. The two big stories that come out of training camp today for the Titans. One, Caleb Farley made his appearance on the active roster, did some stuff in the individual periods in the warm-up, dropped the first, you know, tip pass or whatever in warm-up, but didn't really do much outside of that. I will say this, he looks long and lean, and I couldn't tell from the warm-ups if there was any issue with an injury or the back or whatever have you, which I thought was good. The second thing is Julio Jones actually got out there in some team period stuff, and he dropped a touchdown pass from Tannehill, a beautifully thrown ball. Julio got a minus because of the drop pass, dropped the touchdown pass, and then Julio got up and gingerly walked off the field and stood on the other sideline, the defensive sideline, with a trainer and was trying to stretch it out a little bit or whatever, and then went back in the tunnel and was done for the day. And Vrabel said today after practice that he's not concerned with Julio. So as I told Caroline before we came on, I felt as if Julio may have suffered from grade A loser's cramp, which is I dropped the touchdown pass. Couldn't have been me. Couldn't have been my skills that dropped that touchdown pass. Clearly, this is not feeling too good right there, but obviously we will continue to monitor that. Up and down day for Tannehill. Tannehill had some beautiful balls when in the plus minus. In the plus minus, Tannehill was plus four, minus two. So he had some good throws. He had some bad throws. Woodside plus three on the day. He was fantastic. I already said Christian Fulton was great. Chester Rogers, number 80, keeps making kind of his case to make the roster. So all in all, the Tannehill's thrown too many interceptions for me, which I don't like. But the secondary's getting interceptions, which I do like. And I thought it was a solid day of practice. And the pads go on tomorrow. So that's that. Now, the big story. Carson Wentz has the surgery. We spent all day Friday, and I felt like we kept hearing a lot of different stuff. And it was, Carson Wentz is going to miss practice on Friday. He hurt his foot on Thursday. Carson Wentz is going to go see a specialist, but the Colts aren't worried. The Colts are fine. They're not. They don't see anything wrong with this. Nothing's wrong with Wentz. Then we heard, oh, there might be a ligament torn in there. Okay. Then we heard bone and ligament. Then we heard he heard a pop. Then we heard going to have to go see the specialist and surgery is likely. Then we heard over the weekend he was going to let it rest. I mean, I don't know about you, Caroline, but I saw the report yesterday that Carson Wentz was willing to let it rest. Maybe he'll be ready for week one. Today, Frank Reich, press conference, says Wentz is out for 5 to 12 weeks. Here's what Frank Reich said today.
You're going to ask, well, what's the time frame? And, you know, the easy answer is there's no, we're not going to put a time frame on it right now. We're just going to see how it goes. But, you know, all you got to do is just ask the doctors what the time frame are. So we asked the two best doctors in the world, what's the time frame? And here's the answer. The answer is the time frame is 5 to 12 weeks. That's the time frame for this injury. That's a big range, okay? And there's no way to know where you're going to fall in that continuum until you get into the rehab process. Now, obviously, we're optimistic and hopeful that we can be on the front end, somewhere towards the front end of that. But the reality is you can be anywhere in that spectrum. We have good case studies right here in Indianapolis of guys coming back on the front end of that, you know, on the front end of that time period. So. But at the end of the day, we just have to trust the process, trust the doctors. We feel like we got the best in the world doing it. He'll stay right here to have the procedure done, you know, with Dr. Porter. We were good. You know, you got the two best guys in the world, you know, one in Dr. Anderson, one in Dr. Porter. Ultimately, the decision was made just to stay here, just for the ongoing nature and because he's in-house here. And we felt comfortable with both those guys, but that was the decision that was made.
Doesn't it feel like Indy's trying to sell me on something? Doesn't it feel that Frank Reich, when he says the timetable is 5 to 12 weeks. By the way, I asked Vrabel today about the 5 to 12 week time frame, and Vrabel literally laughed out loud.
It's almost like when you get a plumber and they're like, yeah, we'll be there between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m.
Yes.
Like, what? When is it? That's all day.
And then you're stuck at your house all day.
Yep.
And that's what's going on here. Because if it is 5 weeks, Carson Wentz plays week one. I still don't love Carson Wentz. I don't love Indianapolis, and I'm not sure they're a huge threat to the Titans. Never really considered them a threat. But if it's more likely 12 weeks, and Carson Wentz's injury history would probably make us think that he's not the quickest healer in the world, then the season, as far as the Colts are concerned, is over. We've said it all day Friday. Those first five games, the Seahawks, the Rams, the Titans, the Dolphins, the Ravens. Three of those five are on the road, including all three AFC games, which are the most important. I'm going to say it because I'm not sure anybody else will. The AFC South is over if Carson Wentz doesn't come back by week one or two. It's over. And the odds are that it's probably not going to be that tough to win even if Wentz is in there. But the fact that the Colts jumped for the surgery and felt like they didn't have a choice and they have no backup plan and the idea of going out and adding somebody new is just throwing gasoline on the fire, because the biggest thing they have to worry about is the psyche of Carson Wentz if and when he does come back. I don't see this to be a very conducive situation for the Indianapolis Colts and their hopes of winning the AFC South. I know people hate when somebody puts the cart before the horse, when somebody says, you know what? I really think that we're going to win the Super Bowl this year. And everybody says, whoa, that's kind of crazy. But it's another thing when you look at your division and you see the dumpster fire Houston Texans, the college ball coach in Jacksonville with a rookie quarterback, and the Indianapolis Colts, who made the biggest mistake in believing in a guy that you can't rely on. That's where they are. I saw on SportsCenter today the five teams most likely to win their division according to the Vegas odds. Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Green Bay, Buffalo, and the Tennessee Titans. And let me say this. Remember all those years Tom Brady and Bill Belichick knocked down the AFC East when Miami and the Jets and Buffalo never really had a chance? When you look back on that era of football, I think a lot of us will give a lot of credit to Brady and Belichick, and we should. But don't we also have to look at the ineptitude of all of those teams? Ask yourself this question. During the Patriots dynasty, who was the best coach of those three teams? Was it Herm Edwards with the Jets? Was it Nick Saban and his two failed years in Miami? People forget Saban did win Coach of the Year the first year. Those were bad teams. Each team, each organization looked for quarterbacks. The Jets tried it out with Chad Pennington. They went with Brooks Bollinger and Mark Sanchez and Geno Smith. And then at the end, Sam Darnold, who in a Monday Night Football game was caught on tape saying that he was seeing ghosts. The Buffalo Bills went with J.P. Lossman in the first round. They tried Ryan Fitzpatrick, whom they signed to a long-term deal. They tried E.J. Manuel. Now it looks like they maybe hit on something with Josh Allen, but that was at the end of the Brady Belichick era. And then there's the Dolphins. And when you think of quarterback for the Dolphins over the last 20 years, isn't the most commonly brought up name the fact that they didn't sign Drew Brees? So think about that. The Patriots coasted every year to the division. We got so used to it. I lived up there for a year. I don't even think I've ever seen an AFC East champion hat or t-shirt in all of New England. That's Connecticut to Maine. I'm not sure I saw one of them. They don't celebrate the AFC East there. Well, here's the deal. The AFC South, if Carson Wentz misses the first five games of the season, if Carson Wentz misses the first three games of the season, if Carson Wentz doesn't have the training camp time or preseason games or anything to be able to develop a relationship with his team and be able to figure out what he's trying to do on the football field, that baby is over. Indianapolis is not that good. What they have done is somehow Chris Ballard and Frank Reich, without even trying, have convinced the national media, who is where we get most of our Indianapolis Colts knowledge from, they have convinced the national media that they've reinvented the wheel and their roster development and program building is better than anybody else's. It's not their fault Andrew Luck retired, we all believe. But ask yourself this. Who's starting at left tackle for the Colts in week one? We don't know. Who's starting at quarterback for the Colts in week one? We don't know. Who's the best player at corner for the Colts? We know it's not Rock Ya-Sin. The Colts have good players. Every team has good players. The Raiders have good players. The Bengals have good players. The Washington football team has maybe one of the best players in the league, and they're not very good. The Cowboys have good players. Indy's got good players. But they haven't done anything that would make us think that they're some great team. And Carson Wentz hasn't done anything that would make us think that he's some great quarterback. And so somehow you add them together and everybody on TV is saying, this team has a chance to compete for the AFC South. And now Carson Wentz, the guy who anytime you bring him up, you have to use the word if Carson Wentz stays healthy, if Carson Wentz finds the magic of 2017, if Carson Wentz becomes a good leader, if Carson Wentz can get it right in between the ears. It's a lot of ifs. Oh, and by the way, he's not healthy. The first if. Guys, I hate to say it, but it feels very much like the AFC South is over on August 1st. And I'm sure some people will get mad, but I'm just trying to keep it real. I'm not sure the Titans defense is going to be better this year than it was last year, though I have my hopes. I'm not sure Julio Jones is the difference between you getting knocked out in the first round against the Ravens and beating Kansas City and Arrowhead for a trip to the Super Bowl. I don't know. I don't know if Anthony Firkser can be a starting tight end. I don't know if Bud Dupree is going to be the difference maker at pass rush. But I know this. You're better than Houston. You're better than Jacksonville. You're better than Indianapolis with Jacob Eason at quarterback. 615-737-1025. That's how we're starting today. Is the AFC South race already over? Because I'm not going to be talked to the way I feel like Indianapolis has talked to their local media, which was, hey guys, this Wentz injury, this was Friday. This Wentz injury is really not that bad. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. Yesterday, oh no, he's gonna rest. He's gonna rest. Surgery out 5 to 12 weeks. By the way, that's such a big timeline. My gut, and I'm not a doctor. And Stefania Bell, we should have her on later this week. I'm not a doctor. But I will tell you this. I think it's probably more likely 12 than it is 5. I saw Javon Kearse break his foot and have foot surgery in the middle of a season, and I saw what that did to him. 615-737-1025, that's the question. Do you think the South race is over today? Should we be talking about whether or not the South race is over? We'll get your reaction. We'll get Caroline's reaction. We'll get Ian's reaction. We'll get ESPN's reaction because Jeff Saturday, former Colt, had a lot to say about it. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025, plus what Vrabel had to say about the 5 to 12 week timeline. We're live from the wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Carson Wentz, it was announced, going to have foot surgery out for the next 5 to 12 weeks.
5 to 12.
I know. Table, 5 to 12.
But you guys play
I like
them in
your chances
weeks.
Of being right.
You guys play them in 9 weeks. How much do you kind of keep an eye
well,
on?
Well, that falls right in the middle of it, doesn't it? I don't know. They're going to have whatever they're going to do. Got a lot of respect for Frank and his football team and that organization. You know, we'll figure that out when it comes, whenever that happens. But we got a lot of work to put in, before we get there.
Does that surprise you that Mike Vrabel? And I turned to Gentry Estes before I asked that question, because I did wonder what Vrabel had to think about it. And the thing about press conferences is, we've talked about this, like, you can't really think, oh, well, he's not going to answer the question, so I shouldn't ask it. Yeah, you got to ask it, and you let the guy do whatever he wants. So Vrabel right there, I think, had a good time with that 5 to 12 weeks, which does highlight the fact and how ridiculous it is when it comes to 5 and 12 weeks. And what the difference for the Colts between 5 weeks and 12 weeks is on the Wentz injury. But I turned to Gentry, and I said, how do I ask Vrabel about Carson Wentz without him just being like, yeah, we're just focused on what we're doing here? So that was the way I did it. And I thought it was a pretty good answer. I thought it was pretty telling. Vrabel didn't seem very concerned when asked about that today. Caroline Fenton, I think the AFC South is over today. I think it is over. I think this is like one of those years where, like, the NFC South, I think, is over. I don't think New Orleans, I don't think Atlanta, I don't think Carolina is competing with Tampa Bay. That's over. Fair. I think the AFC West is over, but asterisk Chargers. I think the AFC South is over today. Am I overreacting because it is August 2nd?
I don't think so, but because I think the same thing. Because I thought the Titans were going to win the AFC South even with Carson Wentz as the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. But now, especially with this news, and Sam Acho brought up a very good point this morning that if, let's say, Carson Wentz is out the first 5 weeks of the season, that's pretty much the brunt of the hardest part of their schedule. So were the Colts going to win those games anyways? Does it really make a difference if Carson Wentz isn't there? But to that I say, now they don't even have a chance to win any of those games. Now it seems like the Colts are starting their season 0-4, 0-5, with or without Carson Wentz. And without Carson Wentz, I think it makes their road a lot more difficult. So to answer your question, I don't think you're overreacting, and that the Titans, pretty much, it feels like it is signed, sealed, delivered that they are the AFC South champions.
Ian, do you feel like the AFC South is over?
It kind of starts to feel like that a little bit with this injury news, assuming he does miss, several weeks of the actual season. You know, I guess if he's having the surgery today and he's on the low end of the time frame, 5 to 12 weeks, if he's in that 5 to 6 week range, he might not miss a whole lot of game time. But it does kind of sound like this is going to be something that even when he does come back, he might be having to play through some pain.
Who's the last guy that came back on the low end of something like that? The last guy who they said 5 to 6 weeks, or 5 to 6 weeks is probably what they normally give, month to 2 months, and the guy comes back in a month. Like, who's the guy that's done that on the low end? Adrian Peterson did it a decade ago on a torn ACL. Mm-hmm. Other than that, who comes in on the low end? And this also, I think, underscores the fact that I don't think they're that good with Carson Wentz. So now you take him out, and you take him out of practice. And I understand that we live in a world where if you can't see it, you don't believe in its ability to happen. But you do get better when you practice. Like, I know that because fans don't see practice, they don't understand the idea of getting better in practice. It's like you can't take it away and say, well, I saw Wentz on day one of training camp, and then I saw Wentz after, 30 training camp practices, and his relationship with Michael Pittman Jr. was much, much better because he knew what to do. I'll give you an example. I saw today a ball that was either intercepted or close to being intercepted. I have to take a look at my notes. I think Fulton dropped it. And Tannehill came back to the sideline. And I have never seen Tannehill this angry. And I mean, Tannehill was letting people have it. And A.J. Brown was letting people have it. And I'm listening to this thinking, okay, that's a moment that they've got on film that now in the meeting rooms, Todd Downing and Rob Moore, the receivers coach, and Pat O'Hara, and even Ryan Tannehill himself can say to the guys, hey, why did you do that? I want you to do this. At one point today during practice, they were literally 7-0 against air. And Todd Downing, the offensive coordinator, was calling out what look they were getting from the defense, and then the guys had to react to it. So it's like, okay, on this play, let's say they blitz everybody. You know, what do you do now? Because we know that there are adjustments that are made between the quarterback and the wide receiver and the offensive line based upon how they play somebody. And so Wentz doesn't get any of that. And now he's getting out there on a bump foot when he was terrible last year and he's been injured for forever and everybody there's counting on him and he's already letting them down. I mean, this is an unmitigated disaster if you're the Indianapolis Colts. I was wondering this, and I know this is going to sound crazy. I was wondering if today, like let's say Wentz is out for the full 12 weeks. So I believe that would mean that he misses those, what, first seven games? So it's all those teams.
If he gets the surgery today.
If he gets the surgery today, which I'm sure he is.
He is, okay. Yes.
And it's 5 to 12 weeks. And let's say it's 12 weeks. Well, they're at least going to be 1-4 out of the first five games. There's no way around that. I have no idea what the two games after that are after the Ravens, but I'm sure they're easier than before the Ravens. But even then, I mean, you are not coming back at 2-6 with Carson Wentz as your starting quarterback. And then I was wondering today, like, is there a chance that like maybe Jacksonville could be the biggest competitor for the AFC South this year? And like, that's not a joke. Like, I'm serious. That's how little I think of Indy. I mean, I think Indianapolis has an okay team. They're one of those traditional 8-8 teams that may be a play here or a play there, or if Jonathan Taylor becomes the next Derrick Henry, that, okay, maybe they're a 10-6 team instead of an 8-8 team. But now they have Jacob Eason as their quarterback. And their response to this news on Saturday was to sign Brett Hundley. Let me ask you this question, everybody. Let's say Ryan Tannehill, knock on wood. Let's say something happened to Ryan Tannehill. And the Titans' response was Brett Hundley. How would you feel? And my guess is you wouldn't be very comfortable. So, I mean, I just keep it real around here. You know me, when I think the team stinks, I'll say they stink. They got embarrassed at Green Bay on Sunday night. I came on Monday and I said, they're pretenders, not contenders. And I had somebody over there say to me, don't you think you're overreacting a little bit? I'm like, no, they're pretenders. And I'm looking at this right now, looking at Indy and the mess they've gotten themselves in. By the way, how many times, you used to work at ESPN, Caroline, how often is a conversation on ESPN that involves the Indianapolis Colts, how often do we hear them say, oh, Chris Ballard, he's just the best general manager in the NFL? If you're the best general manager in the NFL, wouldn't you have had a plan at quarterback that's a little bit better than Jacob Eason in case your oft-injured quarterback, you know, gets injured? So I think Indy's a mess. And as I say today, I think the South is over. That doesn't really tell you my feelings about the Titans. It's really not about the Titans. I have no idea if the Titans in a playoff game could beat the Cleveland Browns right now. I have no idea if they could beat the Ravens. I have no idea if they could beat... No clue. Kansas City, Buffalo. But I don't. Houston, we know, is not going to compete.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville, it feels very unlikely that they could compete.
I think Jacksonville will be a threat in 2, 3, 4, 5 years. This year, it just all feels too new and too fresh. I don't see Jacksonville being a legitimate threat to the Titans this year.
I don't either. But I do keep that, you know, at least keep that,
that's,
you know.
Always a possibility.
But Indy, like, they're just, I mean, that you can't win in this league with that at quarterback. You cannot do that. And so I just, and then the other thing about Wentz is, if the guy comes back, who's to say the guy that always gets hurt isn't going to get hurt again? We all lived it. We lived it with Mariota. Where it literally was, look, this guy gets hurt all the time, so you can't depend on him. So the Titans went out and got Ryan Tannehill to back up. Indianapolis has Jacob Eason. I don't know what they do. I do not know what they do. Your reaction, and again, the question is today, is the South over? And I think it is. I think it is the Titans' division. I think you can pencil the Titans in, maybe pin... I'm going to go pin. You can pin in the Titans as at least the fourth seed in the AFC. because obviously the division winners are, you know, 1 through
right.
four.
Right, right.
So at least the fourth seed in the AFC. Your reaction on it, we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Plus, Jeff Saturday went on SportsCenter today. We all know his allegiance to the Colts. And even he had to lay it out there for the fans. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 1025, The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
If you can listen closely, you'll hear my heart breaking, Sage. Mm. This hurts me. Oh, listen, you know I'm a Colts fan. Like, I don't hide it. I want them, I always want them to be successful. I'm always going to be a Colt, but this is pretty tough news. And again, I'm with Frank. You know, you hope that it's on the 5 weeks, but if it's a 12-week type injury, this really sets the Colts back. I mean, you think, honestly, in the first 5 weeks of the season, they played two NFC teams to open it up. Then they got the Titans, the Dolphins, and the Ravens. Those three games, you know, an in-division opponent and then two AFC playoff teams, like, you got to win. Like, those are games you got to win, right? Those are huge. They're impactful for the playoffs. That's where the Colts want to be. Obviously, they had an opportunity to beat the Bills last year in the playoffs. It didn't come to fruition. This team was really poised and kind of under the radar to make not only a playoff push, but maybe contend. And I think from their perspective, they thought they were the favorite in the AFC South. Without Carson Wentz, they are not in that conversation. So you're hoping you get him back sooner rather than later.
There you go. Jeff Saturday goes on SportsCenter and goes, "My heart breaks. My heart breaks with the news of Carson Wentz." As Carson Wentz's foot breaks. Can I just state, before we get to the reaction, before we get to the text and the calls, can I just say for a second, do we have any sympathy for Indianapolis? Like,
no.
Having not seen this coming?
Well, okay. Like, injuries happen. This is football.
Right, knock on wood, like, because it could be us tomorrow talking about, you know, practice, I'm bad having Derrick Henry, and you don't want that.
It could be anyone. It could happen at any time. It can happen in training camp. It can happen in week 5. It can happen in week 12. So, no, I don't feel bad for them. No.
But that's not why I don't feel bad for them. Because I do feel bad. Like, if Patrick Mahomes goes down, I feel bad. I feel bad for Kansas City. I feel bad for football. But I don't feel bad for them because the guy they got, of all of the knocks on him, one of the biggest is that the guy can never stay healthy. Like, nobody should have felt bad for the Titans last year when Vic Beasley went nuts and Jadeveon Clowney got hurt and didn't play a hard. Because that's what they were. We said it every day on the show leading into the signing of Clowney. We said, you know, the guy never stays healthy. So then the fact that the guy got hurt, we said two things. The guy never stays healthy. The guy never gets sacks. So when he doesn't get sacks and he doesn't stay healthy, I don't feel bad for you. You screwed up. Everybody knew it. So I look at Indy here with Wentz. And I keep, you know, Ian was the one that listened to the whole Frank Reich press conference. And Ian was just telling us during the break that Frank Reich was talking about, well, apparently some basketball player had a similar surgery and he came back in 5 weeks. So that means, and I'm like, boy, that really feels like you're grasping at straws.
Yeah.
Like you're really, really trying. Like you're really trying to spin this. And I don't know why you are, because in the NFL, all that matters is winning and losing. But that's what it feels like. And so, no, I don't feel bad for Indy. I mean, I celebrated the first time I ever virtually met Caroline. I had a scheduled call at like 11 o'clock, and it was a Zoom call with me, Ryan, and Caroline. I had never met her before. I was working out before the Zoom call, and as I was working out, Indianapolis made a trade for Carson Wentz. And I just started cheering vociferously. And in fact, I posted a live reaction video on Twitter. Joe Rexroad made fun of me because I was sweating, because I was working out. You know, God forbid you sweat when you work out. I don't know how Joe works out. If he doesn't sweat when he works out, you know, whatever. But I posted a video of me just being so euphoric and happy that the Colts had traded for Carson Wentz, because I knew this was going to happen. Because I knew something like this was going to happen. And I told Caroline, I'm like, I think this is great. Never met her. And I'm like, I think this is great for the Titans. And I went on the air, and I remember all the texts into the text line. Well, you know, if Wentz returns to his 2017 form, then he's a... Do you guys remember how long ago 2017 was? Mike Mularkey was the coach of the Titans in 2017. Here are the Titans' starters on offense the last time Carson Wentz was good. Marcus Mariota at quarterback. DeMarco Murray at running back. Rishard Matthews and Eric Decker at wide receiver. A little Tajay Sharp mixed in there as well. Mm-hmm. Delanie Walker at tight end. Taylor Lewan. Zach Klein at one of the guard spots. Ben Jones was a center. I forget who the other guard was. Conklin at right tackle. That's how long ago 2017 was. So I just knew it was ridiculous. So no, I don't feel bad for Indianapolis. I promised your reaction. Let's do it. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton, what do we have in the text line?
Randy texts into the text line and said, Eason is a fourth-round pick. Frank Reich is a quarterback developer. What if he could develop? Could he make him a one-time Nick Foles?
No. Next question. I mean, okay. Here's the thing with Eason, right? So Dan Orlovsky, Ian, if you could. Dan Orlovsky was talking today on SportsCenter, and Dan Orlovsky is the biggest Carson Wentz bobo in the history of sports. I mean, I watched the Dennis Rodman 30 for 30, mm-hmm. in which I think it was John Sally who said that Dennis Rodman sleeps with Michael Jordan's drawers, that's how much Dennis loves Michael Jordan. Dan Orlovsky feels the same way about Carson Wentz. So they were talking about Jacob Eason, and this is what Dan Orlovsky said today on SportsCenter.
The second thing is, what does Jacob Eason look like? That's their fourth-round pick from last year from the University of Washington. A big, talented kid, huge recruit, went to Georgia, was really good his rookie year or his freshman year there, lost his job because of injury, was good at Washington. Very talented, big, strong arm. What does he look like? Because the reality is, David, this football team was built on the offensive line and Jonathan Taylor, whether their quarterback was going to be Carson Wentz or potentially Jacob Eason.
So the idea is, well, you know, Eason can turn around and hand the ball off and maybe that'll be okay. No, you do that when you have Ryan Tannehill as your backup. You don't do that when you have Jacob Eason as your backup. Now, sure, is there the possibility out there that Jacob Eason is the next Tom Brady? Starter goes down, second-year guy who's never played goes in, becomes the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, yes, I guess there's a possibility. But there's also a possibility that I am the human version of evolution and I'll sprout wings in 6 months. I'm not banking on it, but I guess it's possible. What's next?
Ron texts into the text line and says, I don't feel sorry for the Colts, but I would have loved to have them at full strength when we play them so that there are no excuses for the loss. I'll respond to that with my own personal experience. I always hear about the LSU 2019 season. If Tua was 100% healthy and he was not coming off of injury, Alabama probably would have won that LSU game. And to that I say, okay.
See, I don't believe it.
Let me wipe my tears with my national championship trophy. But see, you can always go back and say that.
Sure. I mean, in 99, the Super Bowl, the Titans didn't have two safeties, and the Rams won the game because they threw the ball over the top.
And you could have said, well, if they had two safeties, then they could have won that game. But I don't believe in that.
See, I still don't. This is a whole different thing. I still don't think that Alabama would have beaten LSU. Like, I think that's absurd. Anybody who tells you that 2019 Alabama beats 2019 LSU's lying. Nick Saban probably doesn't believe that. I mean, we're going to look back at that 2019 LSU football team and say this was one of the best teams ever. And, like, last year's Alabama team was good, but we're not going to look back at them and say that they're one of the best teams ever. I think we're going to look back at that LSU team and think that. And I understand what he says, the texter says, about I wanted to beat him at full strength because I wanted – this is the NFL. It is a war of attrition, and you just want to be the healthiest. That's what really matters. You want to be the healthiest. Fans say stuff like, I want to beat them at full strength, but in reality, fans just want to win.
You just want to win.
And what's the best way to winning? Jacob Eason at quarterback is the best way to winning.
Ben texts into the text line and says, I'm still much too early to consider acquiring Wentz a mistake by Indy. You're simply being too overreactive to this news. It was always going to take some time for Wentz to have the chemistry with his wide receivers anyhow, so opting for the surgery now is the best road to go down to get him fully healthy. This foot issue is something that has plagued him for years. They didn't acquire Wentz just for 2021. They acquired him as a potential long-term answer, and it was really the best option for them considering they would have had to severely mortgage their future had they traded for Stafford.
Okay, so that's a whole bunch of bullcrap. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that is, first of all, he needs time to develop chemistry with his wide receivers. Do you know where you develop chemistry with your wide receivers?
In practice.
Okay. Like, I like, let's be honest here. This is not one of those things where, like, well, you know, Carson's in a walking boot, and they shared some Jell-O together at the dining hall.
They went to the movies.
And because of that, now everybody's good to go. No, you develop it by practicing. That's why Tom Brady takes his wide receivers to Montana and spends the summer with them. That's why you work out. Tom Brady works out in pads. Like, when he does conditioning and he's running, he runs with pads on. Do you know why? Because he plays with pads on. So you can't just, like, simulate the chemistry. I mean, the Colts know they're losing a lot by not having Wentz there. The second thing about how this was much better, this was a long-term thing for the Colts and not a short-term thing. It's only a long-term thing if it works. Ryan Tannehill was a short-term thing. It became a long-term thing. Now, I think, like, dating is the same way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, any time that you're in a relationship, how many people have gotten married where both of them were like, oh, yeah, I mean, when we first met, I wasn't sure that I really liked her, and then all of a sudden, I was just, oh, no. Now we have four kids. Like, that is very common. So I hear this thing about, you know, this was a long-term thing for the Colts. Well, the way I was told by everybody on TV was that the Colts were ready to compete in 2021. And now it looks like the Colts aren't ready to compete in 2021 because the quarterback who can't stay healthy, again, this is a long-term thing, the quarterback who can't stay healthy can't stay healthy. I mean, it's just shocking. It's shocking. I mean, I look at this and I think to myself, Indianapolis should be so disappointed with themselves that they got themselves into this mess and that Jacob Eason is their backup quarterback. Like, if Caleb Farley has a back injury and can't play, now, I saw him on the practice field today.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that he'll be out there tomorrow when they're wearing pads. Doesn't mean he'll be hitting anybody. I have no idea where he is as far as being ready to play. But if the Titans roll out their week one and they expect Caleb Farley to be ready and he's not, that's their fault because they knew what they were getting themselves into. And so with Wentz, I don't have any sympathy for Indianapolis here. And again, the idea of, well, they would have had to mortgage more of their future in order to land Stafford is not necessarily true. The three first-round picks, two first-round picks. The first-round picks that were sent in that trade was more so for Detroit taking on Jared Goff than it was for them landing Stafford. Now, yeah, it would have cost you a first-round pick, and it maybe have cost you more than that, but the hefty price the Rams paid was as much getting rid of Goff as it was acquiring Stafford. What's next?
Ben from Nashville texts in and says, given the Carson Wentz news, we're all surprised that the Titans didn't go get a backup this offseason for Tannehill. I had read rumors about Jacksonville wanting to part ways with Gardner Minshew for something like a sixth-round pick, and I was all for that. What backup QB would you want?
Hey, I saw Logan Woodside sling the ball today, and I liked it. I'm going to tell you this about Logan Woodside. So I know people don't like Logan Woodside because they don't know Logan Woodside. They haven't seen Logan Woodside. But he made some throws today. I mean, I've got my notes right here. For example, Tannehill on the day was 1+, 2-minuses, 3+. So 4 pluses, 4 good throws from Tannehill, 2 bad ones. Woodside was 3 pluses, no minuses. I mean, Woodside was good today at practice. And people don't know Logan Woodside because he hasn't played. And there were no preseason games last year. And nobody has taken a meaningful snap at that position since Tannehill took the job from Mariota. So nobody knows if Woodside's any good. I mean, I would argue that Woodside right now gives you a better chance to win than Gardner Minshew does. Woodside knows your system. I said this to somebody today at practice, which is, I don't think it's close between Woodside and DeShone Kizer. Like, if I was Kizer, I would not think that I'm going to make this team. Because as things stand right now, he's not. And there is no reason that the Titans would take Kizer over Woodside. You will not talk to one person who has covered this team at camp that will tell you that they should take Kizer over Woodside. It's not even close. And so I was watching this today and I said, you know what the difference is? Is that a lot of people, when they think backup quarterback, they want a backup quarterback to go win a game. And a lot of times you are put in that situation. But in the case of Logan Woodside, if he has to go in the game, which I think the Titans probably assume that they're going to lose if they have to use a backup quarterback anyways. But if Logan Woodside has to go in the game, all they're going to want him to do is not screw it up. And I don't mean just turn around and hand it to Derek 40 times and punt, but I do think it is more so the take what the defense gives you, don't put the ball in anywhere, you know, in harm's way, don't do anything dumb, you know, don't try to shoot this ball right down the field, don't do that. Short to A.J. Brown, short to Anthony Firkser, hand off to Derrick Henry, like, and I think they trust that he can do that. So I am not, I mean, we'll see how they look in the preseason when there is, you know, another team out there, but I think the Titans look at Woodside as their backup quarterback. I think the Titans have made it pretty obvious when they don't feel comfortable about a position like kicker, and another thing when they feel okay about it like they do backup quarterback. He beat out Trevor Siemian last year. He beat out DeShone Kizer last year. So this is not, I mean, the idea of like a six for Gardner Minshew, no thank you.
Hypothetical question.
Sure.
Hypothetically speaking, knocking on all the wood, if the Titans were in the same position that the Colts are in now, if Ryan Tannehill needed to get foot surgery and he was out 5 to 12 weeks, how would you feel about Logan Woodside stepping in right now versus how you would feel if you were the Colts right now with Jacob Eason stepping in with the starting job?
I think I'd feel better about Woodside. He's got more experience in the league. You know, like he has more experience in the NFL. So he probably knows more of what defenses are going to try to do. Mm-hmm. He's worked with these receivers before. He's been in that room watching Tannehill. I mean, you've got to remember, Jacob Eason last year was inactive, I think, every game. If he was even on the active roster or not the COVID or the IR or something like that, mm-hmm. where they normally stash guys anyways. But Logan Woodside, 17 times last year, prepared to be the quarterback of the Titans. I mean, you know that every game he goes out there. A buddy of mine, Matt Cook, was on the Columbus Clippers. They just played the Sounds. And we went to lunch the other day, and we've talked about this before, but he was a starter, kind of a starter reliever, moved between the bullpen and the rotation for the Arizona Diamondbacks a couple years ago. And I said to him, I go, when you're sitting there and you're getting ready to go out to the bullpen to warm up to start, and let's say you're playing the Dodgers, and you're walking in from the bullpen, and they're doing the starting lineups, and you're hearing all the names that you're going against, do you ever think to yourself, like, I'm going to go out there and go 8 innings, and when I go 8 innings, I am going to start this long career and this long run that's going to lead to me being a $100 million guy? And he said, every time. So I guarantee you, every time Logan Woodside went out last year as the backup quarterback to the Tennessee Titans and was warming up next to Tannehill and was throwing the ball to A.J. Brown and throwing the ball to Westbrook Akina and throwing the ball to Darrington Evans or Jeremy McNichols in warmups, he was thinking in his head, hey, I am one rolled ankle away from going in there and having to win this team this game and start my long career in the NFL. And I'm not saying that that means that Woodside's going to be good. But again, comparing it with Eason, Woodside has the experience of mentally being ready to go into these games. I'm not sure Eason has that. I'm not sure Eason hasn't sat back and watched Ryan Tannehill lead a team for 2 years. And Logan Woodside has. 615-737-1025. More of your reaction. Again, the big news of the day. Surgery, 5 to 12 weeks. That's right, 5 to 12 weeks for Carson Wentz. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company. We are delivered by TriStar Moving. Let me tell the fine folks, Nashville SC and the New England Revolution have a huge match to take over first place in the Eastern Division this Wednesday night. Join us for a fun watch party at Boombox Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. You can enjoy great beer specials on Heineken. Plus, they will be giving away tickets to the next Nashville SC home game. Mark your calendar to watch Nashville SC take on the Revolution Wednesday night, 6 o'clock at Boombox Craft Pizza and Tap House, 1003 Russell Street in East Nashville. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Third time in the rehab, well, you'll have a better idea if it'll be more toward 5 or more toward 12?
Yeah, I mean, I think generally speaking, what I heard was, you know, in that 2 to 3 to 4 week area, we'll start to get a sense. In the first 2 weeks after the surgery, it's pretty much do nothing, just let it do its deal. And then when we really start into the rehab after 2 weeks, in the next week or two, we should start to gain more of a time frame for a return.
Yeah, that was Frank Reich talking about in 2 weeks after the rehab, they should have more of an idea how long this is going to take with Carson Wentz. By the way, let's not forget about how the Andrew Luck saga played out in Indianapolis, where it felt like, I want to say there was one of those seasons where they kept updating us on Andrew Luck, like, yeah, he hasn't thrown a football in a year, but he should be ready for OTAs. And then they decided to play it safe with Andrew Luck for OTAs. So he didn't do anything in OTAs, but he's going to be out there for training camp. Well, you know, it's probably a little time. He's probably going to miss here for training camp, but he should be ready for the start of the regular season. And then it was, maybe he's going to miss a little bit of the regular season, and he retired. And it's like, whoa, that happened quick. Very, very quickly. Not to say that Carson Wentz is going to retire, just that we can't trust the Colts when it comes to how they feel at that certain point in time. What do more of our texters say? Caroline, who is on the text line?
Ron texts in and says, commenting on the Titans and the hype, I'm a Titans fan, but I believe in staying humble. Just because you have all of those weapons does not mean you are Super Bowl bound. Just look at the Colts and what they did when they had all of those weapons. They went to the Super Bowl but didn't even win with all the firepower they had.
That's not true. They won. They won in 2006. This is the thing people got to understand. This has nothing to do with the Titans. Like, the idea that I look at the division today and I think the Titans are winning it has nothing to do with being cocky about the Titans. I have no idea if the Titans can play defense this year. How are they going to get a pass rush? I asked Jeffrey Simmons today the question about how do you know you're doing things well in practice when you can't hit anybody, you're not wearing pads, you can't sack a quarterback, you can't tackle a running back in the backfield. How do you know you're doing anything at practice? And he was talking about technique and things like that, which does matter. But again, I mean, none of us care about that. Like, what's going to matter is you're not going to know. He told me today that he's got to watch. They've got to watch when they get in the backfield to make sure not to interrupt the throwing motion of the quarterback. Well, guess what? When that's Kyler Murray in week one, you better hope they're interfering with his motion of trying to throw the football. So I have no idea if the Titans are going to be any good this year. None. But I know they're going to win the division. I mean, the Washington football team won their division last year. They were terrible. So winning your division and being good are not the same thing. So the hype about the Titans, if you want to be the hype, if you want to discuss hype, that's those people that were saying, oh, now that they've got Julio Jones, they're headed to the Super Bowl, or they're going to match up with Kansas City, and they're the best bet in the AFC, and that's that. But if you're just saying Houston's a mess, they have one good player and he might be a predator, Jacksonville, it blew up their whole thing. They've got a college ball coach who's trying to run it like the University of Florida. They have a quarterback who's never taken a snap in the NFL. And the quarterback on their team with the most success is a 30-plus-year-old guy who's never played tight end. And then there's Indianapolis, who banked all their hope on a reclamation project that can't stay healthy and hasn't stayed healthy and already is hurt. I mean, that's not the same as saying you're going to be good or be elite or that there's hype. It's just looking at the division saying, boy, these teams suck.
This doesn't change my view of the Titans. The Titans, in my mind, are still at the same level that they were last week. This has nothing to do with the Titans and everything to do with the Colts. The Colts, in my mind, the level that they were at last week, they're way below it. So ex post facto, yes, that does boost the Titans' chances in the AFC South, but it doesn't necessarily change the Titans. The texter brings up the Super Bowl. I don't think the Titans are going to win the Super Bowl all of a sudden just because Carson Wentz is hurt.
I don't think we've brought up the word Super Bowl once.
No.
In reference to the Titans going to it, other than to say this doesn't mean that just because they're going to win the division doesn't mean that they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't feel that way. Like, I don't. So I feel personally like if you're the Titans, you know, or not if you're the Titans, but how I feel about the Titans, I mean, I feel like they're going to win the division. And I think you should be allowed to feel as if they're going to win the division. You should be. Coming up next, an interesting development. And all of a sudden, everybody who covers sports in Nashville, they've become Major League Baseball draft experts. We'll get to it next. And I will say this with next, which is I'm going to explain to you something that maybe you don't want to hear, but is how this sport works. Next, Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.